Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast for today. And today is part two of our two-part interview with Tom Don as we talk about current events that you may not be aware of. These are events that are sometimes glossed over in the news or just simply not covered at all. But with Tom Don's unique insight and perspective, he is able to tie these events into biblical prophecy and the end time scenario, the soon return of Jesus. Amen. If you missed any of yesterday's episode, go back and catch up with it because we don't have time to go back and retrack all of it, but we will back up just a little bit. The first question I'm going to be talking to Tom about today is about the tsunami early warning system in the Indian Ocean, how as important that is after that devastating tsunami that just wiped out thousands of people, they just let it lapse. It's not working. Why? And that's the first question we're going to ask him today. So I'll be back on the other side. They have the tsunami warning systems and stuff like that in place. You'd think that those things would go off, right? These large waves. I mean, that's the definition of a tsunami, is a large wave.
Well, yeah. I'm telling you, when I was watching it on the computer, I was thinking, man, it sure does look like a tsunami, the way that it was just pushing up onto the ground. You know, but you're talking about the tsunami wave detection, which makes me think about over there in Indonesia with Krakatoa and how they just had that volcano explode and half of the island disappeared, and the volcano disappeared, causing that 15-foot tsunami that hit the islands that were, or the land that was close by there. More than 400 people died in that tsunami, but they have a tsunami detection system, and that was installed 6 years ago because of that bad one that was there in 2004, mm-hmm. and it wasn't working. So that's the tragedy of that, is that there was no warning that it was coming. Of course, they were pretty close to the volcano. They had to be hit by the tsunami wave, but yet there was something there that was supposed to help, and sadly it wasn't working, which is a tragedy.
Mm. So, but like down in Florida, they got these things as well, right?
I don't know that they have those down there, because I'll tell you what, normally we don't have tsunami waves in that area, although there was concerns years ago when they had the Haiti earthquake, you know, that there might be a generated tsunami. So that fault line that runs through the Gulf of Mexico there certainly could generate one. But I'll tell you off the top of my head, I can't remember if there are warning systems that are in that area.
Yeah, amen. No, I was doing some research on the ones with the Indonesian, you know, early warning system. And the government said the reason they weren't working is because they didn't have the funds to maintain them and keep them running. I mean, That to me seems like what's the word I'm looking for? You know, criminal neglect, basically. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
You're talking people's lives. You know.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of like the NORAD saying, well, you know, government shut down, so we're just going to shut down all our radars right now, and then we get hit by missiles from North Korea or something. Because, well, you know, we couldn't afford to keep it running. I mean, you know, that's the same thing to me, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know.
Oh, yes, it is.
Golly. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some science stuff that went on. You know, did you see the huge leaps in DNA technology?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. You know, sometimes I tell people that I'm a slow learner. Okay, and I absorb all of this, all these facts and things, right? And so, and it's like it rolls around in my head, or let's say they're like puzzle pieces that are floating up into the air, and all of a sudden they start dropping into places, and then I get this image. And when we're talking about the DNA changing, because that's what China has just had articles on, is that they took a human baby and they extracted, I think, three gene sequences to prevent this baby from getting HIV. and you see a picture of the baby. Okay? And so I thought to myself, oh, no. Now we're acting like God by changing the DNA. And then that brings up, you know, biblical stories. Look what happened at the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. And that was way back when. And so you think to yourself, okay, God changed their language because he said that whatever they put their mind to, that they can achieve. Oh, this is like off the scale now, you know, and we're no longer toying with things. We're acting like gods when we're doing this. And, of course, there was an uproar over the fact that, that they had done this, and but yet still it didn't hold them back from moving forward and doing this. And so, you know, if there's cause and effect, and, of course, the thing that is that might happen with this baby is undetermined yet. And so, but it's scary to think that this is happening.
Yeah. Well, some scientists say that they don't believe it really happened because there was no documented evidence, you know, the like in scientific journals, this is what we did, this is how we did it. And, you know, to allow it, you know, a true scientific experiment, you have it documented in such a way so that others can replicate the experiment and see if the results are the same. And they said there's no information for them to be able to do that. So they're thinking that maybe it's just a publicity stunt.
Well, that would be erring on the good side, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when we're moving down the timeline, you know, I was bringing up a scripture earlier in Mark 13, No, where it talks about the end times, and this would just be another evidence of how far we had come, because it's amazing the things that human beings are doing now. And of course, you know, Daniel, it talks about closing up the book until the end of times, and when knowledge increases, and so knowledge is increasing so fast now, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you talk about knowledge increasing and our ability to see deeper and deeper and deeper into space, I mean, you know, so that, oh, we can look back to the beginning of time now, you know, really. So there's nothing beyond the edge that you can see is what you're trying to say, you know. I mean, what about the huge leaps forward in space science? How do you think that's going to help us?
Well, I don't know about the help. Let's see. Let me get my first thought here, and that is connected to the designer baby scenario we were talking about earlier. And I was watching the article on NOVA. Anybody who's got like on-demand TV where you can go back and you can watch the programs, NOVA just did something on I can't remember the satellite that was out there. I can't remember the name. But it just passed Pluto, and then it went past Pluto, and then went to some kind of rock that was beyond our universe to be able to see it. And as I'm watching this, I'm seeing the pictures, because the thing is that this happened like 3 years ago, but because it only has 12 watts of power to be able to transmit the information, that it took several years for the information to be transferred back to Earth to where they could convert it into images. And that just took place on New Year's Eve, where they saw the images of Pluto and they saw the images of the rock that was beyond, which is absolutely amazing. And as I'm watching this, it almost like I fell into a stupor. I couldn't believe it, because here you have mankind that takes a man-made object, hurdles it into space. It goes, you know, billions of miles out there for a close flyby of Pluto with unbelievable pictures, and then goes on to see a rock that they had discovered. They thought, okay, we're beyond Pluto. What can we do with this thing now? And then they discovered this rock that was in an orbit further out. So they manipulated this satellite to be able to go and find it out there in space. And I thought to myself, oh, man, we are like gods. Yeah. You know what? And that is the scary thing. Not only do we you know, can compare ourselves to being like gods, now with the designer babies, we are getting to the point where some of them are thinking we are gods. Yeah, this is really risky stuff.
Yep, absolutely. And God don't take too kindly to try to, you know, have mankind replace them.
Well, that is true.
You know, speaking of you know, the planets and all that stuff, did you see that they've thought or they think they've discovered water on Europa. It's a moon of Jupiter. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, I did. There was some type of plume that they saw in the pictures, which is pretty amazing to be able to discover these things. You know, I remember having tears in my eyes when I saw the first picture of Earth rise from the moon.
Yeah.
No, we are so far past that now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, now they're talking about, we'll send a spacecraft to that moon of Jupiter, Europa, in order to see if there's life there now. Yeah. But my question is, what are you going to do if you land and, some being's like, what do you want? Then what? You know?
Yeah.
And because, I mean, we've discussed before about the Vatican and all that and, how they're preparing people for the discussion and the exposure of, there is alien life, you know? And, matter of fact, they have a satellite set up in, I think it's New Mexico. And the name of it, get this, and I can't tell you what the acronym, and my tongue's tied up, stands for, but it's spelled out as Lucifer.
Yeah.
I that tells you, right? I mean, to be the Vatican, to be a Catholic, and you're going to name your satellite system, your telescopes of Lucifer? Really?
Yeah.
You know?
that tells you
where they're headed.
It's been a subject that I've been aware of that for a number of years, and it's like a subject that I'm too afraid to even go towards, because they have one of the best, if not the best, telescope, Earth-based telescope, and the Vatican is behind it, and it's really a scary scenario.
Yeah, and they keep it top secret. I mean, it's not like, they put stuff out on the internet for you to go look at. It's like, classified information and... But to name it Lucifer, I mean, to me, that is the, name it, Looney Tunes or something, but Lucifer,
that was a subject that is not on the list, that I had sent for conversation, but it was something that I because it just came up, I didn't have time to include it. And that is the Pope talking about, we need to relinquish our sovereignties as nation. And I thought to myself, that book series, what was it, Left Behind book
Left
series?
Left Behind, yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking, this is getting close.
Yeah.
To think about having the Pope say a statement like that is, really concerning.
Yep, amen. We're going to have to get back on and do another one of these just talking about that. I mean, here's a question for you. Since we're talking about, the plume and Jupiter and all that good stuff, what about the global warming here on Earth?
Okay.
Science says that, the scientists say it's continuing to get warmer, but yet the weather.com says 2018 was the coldest in 20 years. Which one is it? Which one is right?
Yeah. Yeah, now this would be my personal opinion because, I've gone over this and actually it kind of makes me crazed to think about this because they talk about the global warming, because in 1883 you had Krakatoa that exploded. That's one volcano, and it plunged the Earth into a mini ice age for 2 years, and a lot of people died because of that, And so when they put the responsibility on man-made technologies and
carbon,
fossil fuels and And when it comes down to it, I think it's nothing more, and this could get me in trouble, but nothing more than a ruse, by which to be able to say that there is a concern, because if you got a crisis, then people throw money into it, and then when they do that, it goes to different places. But the what it comes down to is that there's a lot of conversation about the sun going into a solar minimum, which then contributes to the Earth cooling, which there is research that shows that the sun is in solar minimum. And so I don't know how long that lasts, but I'm also thinking to myself up here in Chicago, right now it hasn't been really cold, so I like that, but yet there's still snow on the ground. So the warming aspect, I have a son-in-law that works in the farming industry. And he is saying that they have had farmers that do more crops because it has been warmer at higher latitudes. But at the same time, there's other things that, so that goes in the opposite direction. So the thing is that I really don't think that global warming as pertains to the conversation that we're having is real. Now, climate change, we're seeing a lot of different weird things happening that gets people shook. You know, people get stuck in a rut, you know. And that's sometimes, you know, I'm glad for the four seasons, unless you're living on the equator, you know, because we have change and we need to be able to change. But sometimes our mindsets prevent us from changing. And if we're not really seeking out stuff, change can help us to look for God, because we have a hard time with change. And so these changes that are happening to me, I'm thinking, why are people not more concerned about the things that they are seeing? Because these are like first time things that we are experiencing.
Yeah, amen. And when you're talking about global warming, you know, I think about, you know, you said people make a bunch of money off it. I'm thinking about Al Gore. You know, I mean, he you know, started this bandwagon, and he's made, you know, millions and millions of dollars, and anytime he goes to give a speech, he charges, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and flies there in his private jet, burning up carbon fuel, you know, contributing to global warming. But, you know, he doesn't want you to fly a commercial, you know. He don't even want you to drive, just take a bus, you know, type
of
thing. Yes, carbon emissions do contribute to all that. Matter of fact, you know, they're talking about the ozone, you know, hole in the ozone layer and all that. But did you see the report that that ozone layer is closing now?
Yeah, I did see that.
Hey, it's cured. Let's start burning oil again, you know?
Oh, man. Yes. It's funny, you know, how these things are shaping up. Now, the other thought in this slow learning curve that I have is that, you know, people are looking into the future, let's say 100 years, because there seems to be this kind of push for colonization on Mars. I'm trying to figure out, well, why are they so concerned? You know, and when you look at the changes that are happening in the world, you know, they get formulated, because it does say that this in the scriptures that the moon, that that's the scripture that I brought up. I can quote it. It's in Mark 13:24, you know, towards the end of days, where Jesus is talking to the disciples. It said that the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its life, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken, you know. And so we are getting close to seeing some of these things happening, and it contributes to the end of time. But if you're not tuned into scripture and the seasons that we're in, people could think, well, this is going to go for millennia. I don't think it's going to go for millennia, because Jesus said he's going to come back. And the way things are looking, it sure does look like it's not going to be that far off.
Yeah, amen. I mean, you talk about trying to go and colonize Mars and all that. SpaceX is now competing against NASA. You know, technically they're working together, but, you know, NASA is struggling for government funding, and SpaceX is like, hey, we'll sell it to you. You know, they're in it for the profit. But, I mean, they already sent astronauts, you know, their own astronauts right to the very edge of space on a suborbital mission. And, you know, they've sold seats for commercial, you know, the first commercial flight going up to, you know, take, you know, if you got a couple $100,000 you can just throw away, you can get a suborbital flight, go up to space yourself, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're supposedly in the process of making plans to send someone to the moon, or not moon, Mars. So, I mean, you know, things have changed since the 1960s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now you're talking Sputnik there. I remember sitting out on the porch, you know, and as a kid, watching it go by, because they would tell you what time it was going over. You know, we thought that was just the biggest thing.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. That's right. And I remember when Alan Shepard made the first American suborbital flight. And you know, I was only like three at the time or something like that. And my grandfather set me down in front of the TV, pointed and said, sit here and watch this, because you'll remember this someday. And I still do. To that day, I still, it's one of my earliest memories. I didn't know what I was looking at. It looked like a big pencil or something. I don't know what it was, you know. But, you know, it wasn't long after that, John Glenn. Now, I do remember that one. But, you know, all this stuff is so neat. I've been a space junkie, I guess you could say, ever since. you know, the Apollo era and all that. But, you know, so I'm excited to see all these things, discoveries and attempts to explore, you know, the outer regions of our solar system and all that. I think it's all cool. But at the same time, I can't help but wonder why they're trying to discredit God and creation when everything they find just cements the fact that what the Bible says is real.
Yeah, I know. It's just crazy. Boggles my mind. Yes, yeah. You know, and it comes back to the part about the delusion. You know, where was it? I think it's in 1st or 2nd Corinthians where the Apostle Paul talks about having a veil across our minds. You know, it says that's a prayer that I pray often, that God would remove the veil from the people's minds and allow the wax to come out of their ears and the scales off of their eyes, and so that they can see the light of the Scripture. No, and so we as human beings, that's the way that we are. We have this the dull veil over our minds that if we don't seek God, it doesn't get permeated. But yet, everything is screaming that somebody created this, you know, and we just tend to ignore the fact that this is going on, which is comes back to a thing I always say, that this is kind of a scary about how we can rationalize and justify a lot of different things and sweep God under the carpet. But now here's an interesting point is that a while back on my way back from Florida, I stopped by to see some friends in Southern Illinois that have a little church down there, and they were experiencing a move of God after a breakthrough. And there was people that were coming in that were tattooed all up, you know, which would indicate that they are in a certain culture, you know. Right. And what happened is that they were so deeply into spiritual pain that they started coming to church, and then they started to receive salvation, okay. And so two things happened. The first thing was is that they wanted to know why nobody had ever told them that this was available, okay? And the second thing is that some of them were drug users, and they still had the paraphernalia in their pockets when they were in church. Now, this is absolutely God all over it. They were compelled to take this stuff out, walk forward, and put it on the altar area. Can you believe it?
Amen. Yeah. Glory to
God.
Yeah.
This is to have them to be able to respond to the message of salvation. And then once their eyes are open, they're looking at their culture and saying, well, wait a minute. We didn't even know that this existed because our culture has hidden this message from people.
Yep. Amen. I remember a story that Ken Hagin, Sr., told one time when he was doing his evangelistic meetings, he said this woman came up to him, young lady, and you know, said, I know I'm not supposed to go to nightclubs and stuff, I just like going out dancing, and I'm afraid if I give my heart to Christ that, you know, I can't go dancing anymore, that, you know, that it'll be looked down upon. And he said, hey, give your heart to Jesus and you go dancing as much as you want. He goes, really? Sir. So she got born again, you know, saved and all that. He goes, now, what you do, you just go dancing as much as you want. He goes, okay, thanks. And she's seen him about 2-3 weeks later. She goes, you sly dog. He goes, what? He goes, he took away my want to. <You know? laughs> So she went and tried it. She just says, it just wasn't the same anymore. You know, your eyes are open. Your spiritual understanding is there. You know, I mean,
well,
yeah, amen. That's kind of how I was with alcohol. You know, I mean, once I got born again, I didn't have an instant deliverance from it. Over the course of about 6-7 months, well, maybe a year, I just realized, you know, I don't want it anymore. I just don't want it. And it's been 27 years, you know.
I always like the testimonies where people say that it was taken away at that point and that they didn't have to struggle with that temptation anymore, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Praise God.
I didn't have a temptation. It just slowly, you know, because I was in a habit of drinking. Well, the habit slowly just dwindled away. And I went 6 months before I even realized I had a drink. It just one day it dawned on me. Wow. Wow.
The power and testimony of the power of God in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, we're about all out of time for today. How can someone, if they had a question for you and wanted to do an interview such as this or have you come speak, how can they get a hold of you?
All right. I have an email address. And that is healingthenation1776@gmail.com, where they can reach me. And if they want to look for the books, that is on Amazon under Tom Donnan, D-O-N-N-A-N, and they can see the five books there. And that I'd be glad to have any kind of interviews or correspond with people to get this information out, because it seems as though the further we go, people are starting to have more questions.
Yeah, amen. And we're going to be talking more. I'm going to have Tom back on again soon, because I want to talk about, you know, some of the predictions for 2019 that I've seen, you know, about earthquakes, tsunamis, floods and volcanoes and all that. We've talked about this stuff before. It's time to sit down and look at it again, as well as I want to talk specifically about your book and all the details on that. Sound good?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, brother. Well, folks, that is all the time we have for today, and I thank Tom for taking the time out of his schedule to come on the program and catch us up a little bit. And be sure to like the program, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss next time Tom's on. Amen. You'll get the notification, because I can guarantee you every time he comes on, we go deep into these subjects, and the work that God is doing in the world right now is just simply spectacular. I mean, it's amazing when you think about what he is allowing man to discover about themselves. And instead of drawing people closer to Christ, like, wow, you know, there is a creator, there is a designer behind all this, mankind is just like Tom referenced at the beginning, the Tower of Babel. We don't need God. We can do this ourselves. You know, the DNA and all that stuff. These are things that Jesus prophesied about, said this is what's going to be like in the last days before the time of the Son of Man. And we are living it right now. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to do that. Tom, will you lead someone in that prayer if that's the way they're being led right now?
Oh, I'd be glad to. Let's pray together. Dear Amen. Father God, Father I God. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Yes. And how he came to this world, Lord God, to show us the image of you. And that, Lord, I'm sorry that he had to suffer, but he died with the shedding of his blood for my sins. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge to you, Father, that I am a sinner. I ask that you would please forgive me of my sins. Now I invite Jesus to come into my heart and into my life, and I want to live for him. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Folks, if you prayed that prayer, email me at brotherbob@ftfm.org or email Tom Don and let him know at healingthenation1776@gmail.com, because we want to rejoice with you. Amen. Until next time, this is Pastor Bob for Tom Don and myself reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform,
your success.